Have you ever watched somebody fly an airplane and thought, that is not possible? I mean, truly impossible. The wing should not be there, the nose should not be pointed that way, and the whole thing should have come apart 2 G-loads ago. I'm Tail Dragger, and this is The Hangar on Radio Hangar. Pull up a chair, because today I want to tell you about a woman who did exactly that, over and over again, in front of judges and crowds, and every skeptic who ever said aerobatic competition belonged to one particular half of the population. Her name is Patty Wagstaff, and between 1991 and 1993, she won the United States National Aerobatic Championship 3 times in a row, not the women's category, the overall, open class, against every man and woman flying competition aerobatics in America. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. Now, Patty did not grow up in hangars. She grew up overseas. Her father was a captain for Japan Airlines, so she spent her childhood in places like Tokyo and Singapore and Australia. She did not sit in a cub as a kid. She did not solo at 16, in fact. She did not start flying until she was in her 20s, knocking around Alaska, which is a pretty dramatic place to learn. Bush flying country. Short strips, bad weather, mountains that do not move when you misjudge them. She earned her ratings up there and eventually married her flight instructor, Bob Wagstaff, who was a serious aerobatic pilot himself. And that is where the seeds got planted. She watched Bob fly competition figures and something clicked. Not just that she wanted to try it, but that she understood it. The geometry, the energy management, the way the airplane talks to you through the stick when you're hanging on a vertical line at zero airspeed, waiting for the tail to swing. She started competing in the mid-1980s. Her early airplane was a Pitts S1S. Now, if you have ever flown a Pitts, you know it is a tiny, twitchy, beautiful little machine that will bite you faster than a rattlesnake if you get lazy on the rudder. She flew that Pitts hard, entered the lower categories first, worked her way up, got beat plenty of times, learned from every flight. By the late 80s, she was flying unlimited, the top category, where the figures are brutal and the tolerances are razor thin. You are judged on precision, not just whether you can do a snap roll, but whether you can place it exactly on the 45-degree down line, stop at exactly wings level, and fly out with zero heading change. At unlimited, a sloppy roll is not just ugly, it is a zero from the judges. In 1991, Patty showed up at the Nationals flying an extra 260. Now here's where it gets interesting. The extra 260 was a German design, a monoplane, and it was changing the game. The old guard flew biplanes, Pitts specials mostly. The biplane guys believed their airplanes had an edge because of the drag and the snap characteristics. But the monoplanes were catching up fast. They were cleaner, they had better energy, and in the hands of somebody who could really fly, they could put figures in places a biplane could not reach. Patty could really fly. That year at the Nationals, she put together sequences that were just immaculate. Judges watching her fly would later describe it as surgical. Every line was straight, every radius was constant, every roll rate was uniform. She was not muscling the airplane, she was dancing with it. And when the scores came in, Patty Wagstaff was the United States National Aerobatic Champion, the overall champion, first woman ever. Now you might think the story peaks right there. Historic win, glass ceiling shattered. Everybody goes home happy, but Patty was not interested in being a one-year story. She came back in 1992 and won it again. And in 1993, she won it a third time, 3 in a row. That is dominance that has nothing to do with novelty or luck. That is someone who was simply better than the rest of the field for 3 consecutive years. And I want to be clear about what competition aerobatics at the unlimited level looks like. Because if you have only seen airshow performers doing smoke on crowd-pleasing passes, this is a different animal entirely. In competition, you fly inside an invisible box in the sky, roughly 1,000 meters on a side. Judges sit on the ground with their eyes glued to your airplane. You fly a prescribed sequence of figures, and every figure has exact specifications. The heading must be right, the altitude must be right. The roll must be the correct type, at the correct rate, in the correct place. A 1-degree wing dip on a vertical line costs you. A slight wobble on a hesitation roll costs you more. It is the figure skating of aviation, except your arena is 3-dimensional and the consequences of a mistake are not a bruised knee. Patty's edge was not just raw skill, it was preparation. She would rehearse sequences on the ground, walking through them in her mind, mapping every control input to every energy state. She knew exactly how much speed she needed entering a figure, how much she would lose through the figure, and how much she needed coming out to set up the next one. The whole sequence is an energy puzzle, and if you get one figure wrong, the whole chain falls apart. She also brought a physical discipline that a lot of her competitors did not match. Competition aerobatics pulls serious, G-positive 6, 7, sometimes 8 in the hard pull-ups. Negative 3 or 4 in the outside figures. You're getting slammed into the harness, then crushed into the seat, over and over, for minutes at a time. Your vision narrows, your arms get heavy, and you still have to place a snap roll within a wingspan of the correct spot on a down line, while your blood is trying to decide which end of your body it wants to be in. Patty trained like an athlete because she understood that flying at that level is an athletic event. After the 3 national titles, she transitioned more into airshow performing, and that is where most people came to know her. If you have been to a major airshow in America in the past 30 years, chances are good you have seen Patty fly. Her airshow routine was different from her competition sequences. Airshows are about showmanship. You fly for the crowd, not the judges. Low passes, aggressive pulls, knife-edge flight along the crowd line where the airplane is on its side, and you're holding altitude with rudder alone. Smoke on, engines howling, the whole thing close enough that you can feel it in your chest. Her signature airplane for much of her airshow career was an Extra 300s, painted in red, white, and blue. She would fly that airplane like it was part of her body. There is a smoothness to great airshow flying that the audience might not consciously notice, but absolutely feels. No jerky inputs, no hesitation. The airplane flows from one maneuver to the next, like water moving through a riverbed. Patty had that. She could make a violent maneuver look graceful, and a graceful maneuver look effortless. One thing that always struck me about watching her fly was the low-level work. She was comfortable close to the ground in a way that takes years and years of aerobatic flying to develop. There is a trust you have to build, not just in the airplane but in yourself. You have to know exactly where you are in three-dimensional space at every moment, even when the horizon is spinning and the G-load is changing and the ground is right there. One misjudgment, one moment of spatial disorientation, and you're a smoking hole. Patty flew close and she flew precise, and she did it thousands of times. She also became a fierce advocate for airshow safety. After decades on the circuit, she understood better than most that the line between spectacular and catastrophic is razor thin. She pushed for better training standards, better site surveys, better communication between performers and airshow organizers. When you watch a modern American airshow and the aerobatic box is set at safe distances from the crowd, and the performers are briefed on emergency procedures for every phase of every routine, part of that culture exists because people like Patty insisted on it. Now here is something that might surprise you. Her Extra 260, the airplane she flew to that first national championship in 1991, hangs in the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum, right there with the Wright Flyer and the Spirit of St. Louis and the Bell X-1. They chose it because of what it represented, not just aerobatic excellence, but a moment when the sport changed. A woman winning the overall national title was not supposed to happen, and then it happened 3 times in a row, and the sport was better for it. Patty is still flying today. She does aerial firefighting work, flying an air tractor on fire suppression missions out west. Think about that for a second. A 3-time national aerobatic champion, a Smithsonian pilot, and she is out there dropping retardant on wildfires in mountainous terrain because flying is not a trophy case for her. It is a life. I have met a lot of pilots over the years who will tell you that the best stick and rudder pilot they ever saw fly was Patty Wagstaff. Not the best woman pilot, the best pilot. That distinction matters because for a long time the aerobatic world treated women as a separate category, a curiosity. Patty did not ask for the category to be removed. She just made it irrelevant by winning the one that counted. Back when Avigas was cheap and airspace was free, aerobatic competition in America was a small, intense, beautiful corner of aviation. Patty Wagstaff helped put it in front of millions of people and showed them what a human being and an airplane can do together when the skill is real and the commitment is total. Most of today's story comes from the International Aerobatic Club records. The Smithsonian's own documentation of her Extra 260 exhibit and Patty's published interviews over the years. You can find more at radiohangar.com. Fly coordinated out there. See you next time.